Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now, I want to continue what I was discussing last time, talking about how to work for God. We have been speaking about that for some time. Remember, we started this whole thing by talking about the purpose of life. We also talked about the purpose of our walk with God, that is, our lives must bear fruit. And we said God is looking out for fruit in our lives. And we now want to summarize everything by looking at it under a topic, which I called How to Walk for God. And I said that I have a book out there which goes by that same title, and it would be good to read it and learn the things that are written therein. Among the last set of points we have been making is the fact that God does not like surprises, all right? He does not like surprises. We must follow things after the due order. We must follow things after the due order. That's a matter of fact. That is, we cannot just wake up in the morning and do something which we believe will make God happy if he did not ask for it. As a matter of fact, I explained that God does not ever demand something from you that he did not first place in there. Listen to that. He never demands something from you until he first places that thing inside you. He did not ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac until he gave him Isaac. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. That's just the way God is. God judges you according to that which he placed inside you. And we have been talking about the fruit of your life. Remember, we explained it that God placed certain gifts, certain talents, like we say in common day, all right, in everyday English. God placed those things inside you. And the use of it is one of the ways by which you show that your life is bearing fruit. So I began to talk about how to work for God. In summarizing everything, I said, number one, you must be working so as to manifest the divine character that God has placed inside you as a Christian, so that the walking, all right, that is by the word, feeding ourselves with the word of God is a work of God. To spend your money, your energy, your time to go and hear the word of God is the work of God. To spend your resources, to say, listen, this portion of my money, I am going to spend it in investing in buying books. I'm going to spend it investing in buying tapes, CDs, so that my life may be filled with God's word is actually the work of God. I said, the devil does not run away from prayer. It doesn't. All right? It doesn't. It does not run away from fasting. He doesn't. In fact, you go and see the life of Jesus Christ, the devil only showed up after he had finished fasting. Do you follow my point? The time he wasn't fasting, he was not tempted. It was after he finished fasting that the devil showed up to tempt him. But what does the devil run away from? We saw the Lord Jesus employ that. And that is an utterance of the word that is written. Every time the devil showed up, the Lord Jesus said to him, it is written. Unfortunately, these days Christians think that when I fast, the devil will run. Unfortunately, they don't realize that is when he comes closer, because everybody that's fasting is getting weaker. They are not getting stronger. Listen to me. That's a matter of fact. Daniel said that the angel came to me in my weariness. That is, he was fasting and he was tired. Do you understand my point? The man was fasting and praying and he became very tired. And the devil also knows that. So he comes to tempt you at such weak points. But one thing he can never stand is the word of God. Life will utter to you, you must respond with God's word. And this word doesn't come because somebody laid hands upon you. It doesn't come just because of the kind of church you go to. It only comes because of the kind of attention you give to learning. Learning, therefore, we said, is working for God. Are you getting my point? Another thing we said, which was last thing we said, which I want to continue on today, all right, is that, you know, we've been emphasizing it again and again. It's not only the pastor that's serving God, we are all serving God. I don't have to leave my job to become a pastor so that I'll become more service-oriented towards God. If I do my job well, that job is the service of God. I said, God, listen, that if you surprise him, we said last time, you are more likely to get killed rather than to be blessed. When Uzzah stretched forth his hand and he touched the ark, instead of being healed, he got killed. Are you getting my point? Why? Simply because he was walking against the order that was written. So we said, guard your steps when you approach the temple of God. We read from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. It said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. So when we're reading that story in that 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we saw that when David went to go and carry the ark, when the ark stumbled, Uzzah stretched forth his hand to touch it, and then he got killed. What was the mistake? They put the ark of God on a cart, a beautiful cart, a new one, but not what was prescribed by God. Their service to God got them killed instead of getting them blessed, because they did not first learn. Are you getting my point? I now emphasized that life every aspect of life, God has prescriptions for it. Listen, your marriage is a Christian marriage. Not because you saw a vision to choose your wife. Are you getting my point? You can say, I fasted for 6 months and prayed. And there were six prophetic utterances before I agreed to marry that man. And then the marriage will still be of the devil. It is not because the prophecies were false. It is because the foundation upon which it is laid, all right, is not of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's where we stopped last time. Let's just continue on it. I'm doing my business. What makes my business a work for God is that through it, I'm establishing righteousness. No, we said that before. That's the fruit of our life. So how do we work for God? I go out to establish righteousness. I said that, listen, God didn't give me a job just so that I may get food. Yes, I should work so that I may eat. Because he that doesn't work should not eat. But the reason why God gave me a job is once so I may establish righteousness. Very important. I said, God's word coming into you does not send you into isolation. It sends you out there so that you can go and manifest the effects of that word. And so that everything inside you that is not going to allow the word manifest, people will irritate you and those things will come up. And then you will confess them out of your life. That's how to make your life a work for God. Do you get the point I'm making? I hope you're following the point I'm making. Therefore, listen, the Christian man, the Christian woman, who is working, the very work he's doing, a craftsman, he's there molding blocks, he's there making furniture works, he's there, all right, bending iron, he's there nailing something on the roof. That work is the work of God. He must understand it. But it is not the work of God if he's not doing it according to the will of God. Christians, I said to us, we like to see visions. Yes, God spoke to me that I should go into carpentry business. Listen to me, it does not guarantee success there. It's a foundation. When I was writing the book, Should I Say Yes? The book on how to choose a marriage partner and how to succeed in marriage, run your marriage as a Christian. One of the questions that people sent to me, which I included the answer inside the book, is this. Is that how come a marriage that was founded, that is, the people chose their husband or their wives based on Christian principles, it still turned out wrongly? What could have happened? You know my answer? I said, that's it. It's called a foundation. A foundation is never a building. Are you getting my point? If you laid a foundation, Paul said, we have laid a foundation. Each man should be careful how he builds on it. Even though you have chosen your wife, your husband, by praying and fasting. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have obeyed the word of God to make a choice. After that, there are principles for building that marriage on the word of God. That's what makes that marriage a work for God. That's what makes a Christian marriage. So I answered. I said, yes, you can see vision. God can walk up to you. My son, that is the daughter I have chosen for you. And then the angel goes to tell the girl, the Lord just chose you for that brother. And two of you will see the vision clearly. You even see each other in the vision. That's maybe the beginning. 5 years later, it's punching bags and divorce court. Why? That vision doesn't guarantee anything. In fact, one man says that if he saw that vision to start, then know that there's trouble ahead. That's why God will take the trouble to give you such an assurance, because otherwise you would have said, no, God was not in this thing to start. What am I saying? The success of it is built by operating the principle. Beyond choosing now, we are finished choosing. But the principle of living the marriage, it must be based upon the word of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, how do I work for God? Don't forget what I've been saying. Every aspect of life, being a husband is a work for God. There are many people that, and we have to be careful that we don't do this. We succeed in one aspect of working for God and fail in another aspect. The one I say all the time as an illustration, people will come and say, I have not paid my children's school fees for a while. Why? Because our church is building. Why? The church building is the work of God. I say, when children go to school, it's the work of Satan. You don't rob Peter to pay Paul. Peter is a work of God. Paul is a work of God. You share the thing according to what you have. Do you get my point? Raising children is a work of God. It is the work of God. In fact, I think at this particular point, and I will begin to talk about how to spend money. Because you see, giving, spending money. Remember what I said before? God has a set of rules for everything. As a pastor, I can't just get up and say what I like. It must be what is in the Word of God if I want to guide people in how to spend their money. What I'm supposed to do is to teach what the Word of God says is the proper procedure for handling money. That's why I preach a series of messages available on an MP3 CD titled Your Money. Because, very important, how you spend your money is also part of how you work for God. Again, this is what I know, having observed Christians. Most Christians, with all the giving they are giving, they are not giving to God. God does not know who they are giving to. Because, let me tell you something, when you talk about how to work for God, first question is, where is God? It's a very good question to ask. Where is God? If we say he's in heaven, then how are we working for him? Do we help him to sweep in the morning? So that we say, by that we are working for him. I said to us before, the only thing that's worked for God is obedience to what he said. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm going somewhere here. God is in heaven, we say. But when we want to work for him, we will realize something. It's also all around us, in places where we don't even realize it. Therefore, as we are working for, in quotes now, the people that God dwell in, then we are working for God. Please, I don't know whether you're catching what I'm saying. Let me give you an example. If you can lay hold of this, my tract titled, It is God and I. I explain some deep truths in that particular tract. And that's the fact that God is always manifested, all right? God has manifestations on the earth. And usually it's in the least likely places or the least likely forms that he appears. I'm going somewhere now. For example, they said, when did we see you and we did not help you? He said, you did not do it to the least of these brethren of mine. Therefore, you did not do it to me. That is, listen, the places where we think God is, a lot of times, is probably the place where really he's not. You know, the one I've been telling you again and again, I hope you believe it. One place where God is hard to be found is inside the church building. That's a matter of fact. Once people, the saints of God, leave a church building, most of the time, God also goes away. It's only present when the people gather, if you understand my point. No building in itself is sacred. That's Christianity we're talking about. So sometimes, a man will behave properly inside the church building, but he will not behave properly in front of his wife and in front of his children. Are you getting what I'm saying? That way, he has not served God properly. I'm just coming back to the matter of money. Now, I'll talk about how to spend your money. It's part of it. I'm going to begin that one. In fact, I'm beginning now. All right? Therefore, when we want to give sometimes, we think that the only giving that is to God, are you getting me, is when I, as a pastor, stand and I collect on his behalf. In fact, people sometimes teach that pastors are supposed to collect on God's behalf. A pastor can collect on God's behalf, amen? So can a hungry man collect on God's behalf, amen? Yes, so can a starving child collect on God's behalf, amen? So can your parents, who the Bible commanded you to honor, collect on God's behalf, amen? So can giving government his taxes, government can help collect on God's behalf also. And listen, if you deny all these people their money and give it to only one person, you have taken from God. Do you get the point I'm making? Remember, he said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. What am I saying? He said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you. Listen, these things are not common, so we must learn it. They don't come to us naturally. We must understand it. Sometimes Christians tell you that they are moving by the Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the things that they are doing. I told you once, somebody told me that I don't give until God speaks to me to give. Are you getting my point? And well, I could be told such things then, but now I have enough understanding. I will answer you anytime you tell me. I can open the Bible and show to you how God has spoken to you to give. And remember, working for God is what? Obedience to what he has laid down as the rule. Working for God is not how much I sweat. Working for God is not how much I jump up and down. Working for God is not the amount of sleep I lose. In fact, if you're always losing sleep, Another point, you probably are not working for him. You are working for yourself. You are working for your conscience. How do I know? Because he says simply, it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. Listen, just by the way, it is the work of God. I said that one before, to take a rest. Are you getting my point? It is the work of God to take a rest. What am I saying? How do I give to God? It's simple. I check from the scriptures where he said he's present. I check from the scriptures the commandment he gave concerning, or the principles he laid down concerning how I should handle my money. And if I handle my money like that, then I'm working for him with my money. Listen, it is not primarily where I drop the money first. It is that I am doing it as obeying divine order. Are you getting the point I'm making? See, beginning from today, let me just itemize a number of places where you find that God exists in what we call giving to God. Because if we don't handle our money properly, in fact, let me say something about money. Ed Cole said that money is about the most powerful thing after omnipotence. He also explained that what somebody does with his money shows what he's doing with his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me just say something to you again, though I've said it several times. Listen, it is not where you give your money that shows whether you are using it for God or you are not. It is the principle upon which the spending of it is based. If I'm spending money supposedly giving to God so I can get some more, I'm serving myself, I'm not serving him. I don't know whether I heard what I said. Once they asked the man, they said, what do you love most about the church service? He said, anytime I come, it's my opportunity to give. Because when I give, I get. I said, what? That is what you love about a church service? That is nonsense. You don't have to come to church to give. You can give anywhere. Are you getting my point? And whatever you are giving, you are not giving because you want to get. Any Christian that's giving because he wants to get is serving himself, because that's the aim of his giving. Remember what I said earlier, that what God judges as work for him is faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Not that I'm being innovative, but that the set of rules that he has put in place, I'm following them. Now, as we begin to look at that, let me remind us of something I've said again and again. Giving for a Christian is a matter of faithfulness. We do not give to God because of what we are going to get. We have been blessed already. In Christ Jesus, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Our giving to God does not buy that. It doesn't buy it. But our faith is reflected in how we handle our money. Now, I'm going to talk about this matter of how to give to God now. And I want to explain a principle. Now, if you read my book, How to Work for God, in one of those chapters, I itemize 5 different places where God is present. And where giving to him, a man would be said to be giving to God. I'm going to read out the 5 points. And for certain reasons, I'm going to start from the last one and come up to the first one, which we have inside the book. Now, I've asked us earlier, where is God? If I say I'm giving to God, I can't hand money to God directly. It's not possible. He doesn't come. In fact, he won't take it. You know why? He can't spend it. Are you getting my point? He can't spend it. You know, if, as a father, let's assume I have a lot of money and my son comes and says, Daddy, I want to give you something. And he gives me, let's say, 10 naira that somebody dashed him. He has not really done me a favor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because compared to the amount of money I spend on him alone, 10 naira is nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying in modern day? Now, that's me as an earthly father. The 10 naira even has value to me. But imagine God is far infinitely greater than me in wealth than I am greater than my son. Therefore, there's nothing really I can hand to him directly, which I can say I have given to God. Sometimes people say that I have given to God, he must give me back. That thing is nonsense. It's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. God is so far infinitely richer than you, that which you supposedly gave to him doesn't dent him at all. It can't. The only thing truly we give to God is obedience. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The only thing truly that we give to God is what? Obedience. That's the only thing that we truly give to him. So that's what we're trying to itemize. So when I say that I have given to God, it's kind of figuratively speaking. How have I obeyed God in the matter of dispensing the resources he gave to me? Now, number one place you give to God, number one, when you give to the poor and the needy, you are giving to God. We'll look at this in details next time, all right? If you give to the poor and the needy, the Bible says that he that gives to them lends to the Lord. A friend of mine came from church one day. He said, his pastor said to him that when you give to a poor person, you are not blessed. But when you want a blessing, you give to a man of God. Because the lesser is blessed by the greater. I told him that whoever told you that, he told you a lie. Because he that gives to the poor, gives to who? The Lord. Are you getting my point? And if indeed his doctrine of the greater will bless the lesser is correct, who is greater than the Lord? Are you getting my point? If you give to the Lord, you are inferior to him. He can bless you following that doctrine. But it is a lie, which a lot of Christians have believed these days, that you can't give to God by giving to the poor and the needy. Listen, when you see a man who is poor, who is needy, I'll develop it further next time, that is one way by which you give to the Lord. Another way by which you give to the Lord, there's what the Bible calls, there's a scripture we quote, and but we often quote it wrongly. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, if any man does not take care of those of his household, he said he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Women often throw that in the face of their husbands. That the Bible says that you must take care of, and then the woman will collect all her money, put it in her pocket, buy jewelry, buy lace. You understand my point? Go and buy land in the bush somewhere that the husband does not know, and be waiting for the man to take care of those of his household. I will read it next time. If you read that thing in context, that was not what Paul said. Paul said, if there are needy people that are your close relatives, it is your Christian duty to take care of them. Anybody who does not help his close relative, who is needy, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God does not have to command men to take care of their homes. Are you getting my point? So it's just an extension of giving to those who are poor, who are needy. If you have a relative, are you getting my point? What Paul said to Timothy is that if you're in church, you find widows that have Christians that have money as relatives, don't give them support. Tell them to call their children who are any money, who claim they are Christians. That's what he was talking about. That's what I called in that book, widows of your household. Another set of places you give money to so that you are giving to God is when you give to who God commanded you to honor, especially your parents. I said to young people, listen, again, we'll read that one, develop before that. Jesus said it clearly. He said, the commandment of Moses is this, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. He said, some of you don't give it to your parents because you say, I have already made a pledge to God. So this morning, I've told God the whole of next year, I'm giving my whole salary to you. And therefore, your father needs something, your mother needs something, you can help them with it. He said, therefore, you don't do it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, by doing that, you have made the word of God of no effect. What is that word of God? Honor thy father and thy mother, that it might be well with you. Many people say that I have tithed, I have given offerings. Nothing is showing. God said, you gave to me one place, most other places where I can be found, you are deficient. You have given to me only in the one or five ways that Pastor Banky is teaching you, and which is the true thing, the word of God. And in case you are asking the question, why have I not prospered with all my giving? It's because you have been working for God, scoring 20 over 100, 1 over 5 every time. All your offerings have gotten you 20%. Why? Because no poor man has blessed you because you helped him. In your house, they know pastor is a very stingy man. They call you pastor at home, but they cannot. Look, when they are wedding, nothing will drop from your pocket. It is the time everybody wants to return to school. You now realize that in your church, you are buying the land. You are building. So everybody knows it. Forget pastor. All the money na God didn't don't give. They call you pastor at home, but nobody has ever been blessed by your resources. That's one area where you have not given to God. Now the last two is one area where we have all been very, very strongly taught. So I will not spend much time on it. Listen, it is a matter of fact, all right? That when you give to a man of God, you are giving to God. But unfortunately, that's where a lot of us have stopped. And that is because of the background of idolatry that we have. It is right. Yes, it is right. But my message for you in this series is to let you know that's not the only place. And then last of all, when God is moving, when God is walking, do you understand my point? As in the spread of his gospel, every Christian must participate. Now, all of this put together, listen, my brethren, are the ways by which we give to God. We cannot pick one area and be deficient in other areas and say we are effectively serving God. If God were to score us, then we'll get only points available from that area. If we put 5 points down, and we're only scoring on one, that means maximum we can get is 1 over 5. And I said that, let me quickly itemize it. We'll develop them in detail next time. But I said before, that after itemizing it, there's a principle I want to quickly explain. All right? And please listen to this. Remember I said that faithfulness is the true work of God. It is not the activity. It is what? Faithfulness. If God did not ask for Isaac, if Abraham killed him, his mother, are you getting what I'm saying? But because God asked for Isaac, therefore, it's a blessing for him to have taken Isaac up in that time to go and sacrifice. Now, it's important we understand divine principles. Now, the thing that actually underlies working for God, especially in the area of finances, is faith. When I say faith, I don't mean I'm just using faith to try and get something from God. I mean by faith, that is obedience to the word, I realize that my tomorrow is secure in God and not in the thing that I have myself. Do you understand the point I'm making? I realize that my tomorrow is secure in God. It's not secure in the stock market. My tomorrow is secure in God. It's not secure in the money I have saved up. My tomorrow is secure in God. It's not secure in the real estate I have bought. Do you follow my point? Therefore, anytime God gives me something, it's actually an assignment. I don't know whether I hear what I said. If God gives me a big business, every month I make a profit and I pocket 5 million naira, it is not a sign that I'm smart. It just means I must know how to handle 5 million. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? A man, a woman that's truly working for God does not just get up and say, yes. Pastor said, give, 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 and just gives. Now, giving is good. Are you getting my point? He must give. He must give. But the first thing he does is to settle down and say, God, hey, all my mates are earning, they are earning like less than 10% of this. How come only me is getting this volume? Draw near to do what? Listen. Then he begins to contemplate with the word of God. There are people that God will say to, you know why I did this? I want you to go back to the place where you came from and go and build a school. The school then won't make a lot of money, but the children then must go, they must get good education. Not everybody will start a free hospital, but many people will start hospitals that are not free, but the primary reason why they started it is so that they can deliver service. So they will do, you see the way I'm here sweating and preaching? Eh? Their own, they will make sure the hospital stands.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng, or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.